Alright. That's America from Heavenly Trip to Hell, and their album is Who is the Enemy? You know, and this is just a metal day, man. This is just a metal day. I'm so angry. It's just, this is what it is. Joining me now, you know, actually last Thursday at the West Hollywood City Hall, something very phenomenal. A city in the United States hung a No More Torture banner up in their lobby, an orange No More Torture banner, and they sponsored a press conference that featured some very significant voices in the public square these days. There was John Duran from the West Hollywood City Government. There was Paul Haggis, the director. There was John Hurd, the actor, and Mark Ruffalo, the director and actor. And I listened to Mark speak at the press conference, and I was very moved by what he had to say, and I invited him to come up and join us. And to give you a sense of it, he said, this is not the time to walk away. This is not the time to turn the page on this dark chapter of American history. It's the time to shed some very bright light into the dark corners of Abu Ghraib, the CIA secret rendition sites, Guantanamo Bay, and Lord knows how many other hideous and dark-filled places where bold-faced torture was carried out in the name of decent American people. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's jump into it, man.
Sure.
What do you think about this? I mean, it's incredible. You know, this book lays out 269 war crimes. The vast majority of them center around torture. And yet, you know, I think what you said there about it's not the time to turn away. But yet, you know, how do you speak to people? What do you say to people about what's going on and the need to step up and do something about this?
Well, I think for a lot of people for a long time it was a question of are we really torturing and are we just doing enhanced interrogation techniques and is it true that these techniques have saved hundreds of thousands of American lives or not? And I think for a long time people's fear and what happened in 9/11 and this idea that that we're actually being kept safe by these methods was kind of clinging and cloying at their consciousness. They were sort of holding on to that as, well, you know, America, we wouldn't do something so terrible. They want to believe that. But now we hear about it every day, and, you know, Dick Cheney will come out, and anyone, you know, who listened to this guy speak, he basically is saying how great these techniques are, waterboarding, which is, you know, for thousands of years been considered torture. And you know, I don't think that as Americans we can any longer turn our backs on this huge injustice being carried out in our name. And, you know, I wanted to think that this regime change, you know, getting Bush out of office was going to make all these huge differences. But as far as torture goes, I feel like there's not a lot happening.
Yeah, well, actually, if you listen to what Michael was just saying, that, you know, so much of the stuff has just been
carried over.
Face. Yeah,
I mean, the Military Commissions Act seems to move through. But you know, a lot of Americans don't know what's going on. They don't. The media hasn't really picked it up. They don't. When they hear Military Commissions Act, they think, oh, well, we've already been through this. We don't. But what's in that is basically tossing out habeas corpus and the Magna Carta. I mean, this started in the 1300s. This is the beginning of democracy. It's the very seed of democracy, is that, you know, ruling class can be given a buy on any kind of crimes whatsoever, whether they're a royalty or just a commoner. You know
it's interesting, though, because I remember, you know, in the 60s, I remember the first time that I ever became cognizant of torture was a group called the Living Theater. Yeah. And they used to do these plays, and I remember it was in a church in Washington Square, basically in New York.
Theater Rough and Holy.
Yeah, yeah. And they had a scene where they had a guy with a hood on, and he was laying there naked, and they had wires running from a battery and a generator and just plugged into his genitals. And they just played this. And you're sitting there watching this, and it suddenly slammed onto you. And then the whole world opened up where you began to see things like the tiger cages in Vietnam or the throwing people out of airplanes. And, you know, and for us then, torture was something that was recognized and was opposed. Today, there seems to be a real kind of willingness to close people's eyes. They seem to be willing to close their eyes and ignore this stuff. I mean, it's amazing. And although it's also interesting, when you guys were talking about demanding that the photos be released, because there's something, those photos coming out, what impact do you think they would have on the consciousness?
Well, I mean, when you, like you said, it is theater. It's you know, people, I don't know if they remember this, they had a history lesson, but the Nazis were actually prosecuted. What they were prosecuted for in Nuremberg was an aggressive war. That's a war against a sovereign nation without provocation. That's what they were being charged with. And it was nearly impossible for them to be prosecuted. Most of the world thought that it was not going to happen. And the Nazis were very, very crass and were laughing at most of the documentation. There was millions upon millions of pages of documentation that the prosecution was trying to go through. They were very cocky. They were very, almost laughing at each piece of evidence that came along. And then there's a quote, Himmler said, "God damn," that everything was going great until they showed that damn movie. And they ended up showing a movie made by a great American director that basically those images that we see now of what happened in those concentration camps. And at that point, upon seeing those images, it sealed the deal. And it brought those people, those horrible people, and what they'd done to justice. And if people see, we've seen these images. We've seen some of them already. They're assaulting to us. They shake us out of our happy little lives, you know. And if they release these images, I have a feeling we're going to see something much worse than what we'd already seen. If it is as Obama is saying, hey, we've already seen them, you know, then show us them. They're already out in the world. But I suspect that it's going to be much more gruesome than anything that we've seen right now.
You would think, I mean, again, reading this book is very, I mean, I went into it thinking, all right, he's going to list 269 crimes. Then you get into it and you're like, wow, this is incredible. And one of the things that he talks about, the torture of children, which was just a small piece of what we talked about in this interview.
Well, you said, you know, he was asked in a debate if it was okay for the president to have a terrorist suspect's child raped in front of them to get information, and Yu's answer was, well, it depended what the president wanted it for. Now, that equivocating is basically the road to hell for America.
Well, doesn't it do something too? I mean, here's a question on this, because when part of this thing is, I think, when people allow this to go unspoken to, or they pretend it's not there. But even, I mean, I think a lot of people actually do know that this goes on, and they kind of are turning their, because look, you know what? The Jack Bauer syndrome, you know, on college campuses today, there are people who say, well, it depends on what it's being used for.
It's insanity.
And it takes away our basic humanity as well as the people that are being abused.
It's, you know, what I was saying is that America has been known, whether we've done it or not, as people look to us for hope who live under these kind of places where torture is widely accepted. And I mean, when we accept it as a people, you know, for whatever reason, then we are all complicit and guilty of it. And that's not where I want to be part of. That does something to a culture, because then where does it stop? You know, why don't we torture Timothy McVeigh? Why don't we torture criminals to find out, you know, what they know? Why are we only torturing Muslims? Why aren't we torturing everybody? I mean, where do you draw the line? You know, and I don't know. It's as more and more comes out, I think the most important thing that we can do now is just completely repudiate it and prosecute.
I couldn't agree more. And I think actually, you know, one of the things that's happening, actually, I should let people know that I'm Michael Slayton. This is KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. And I'm talking today with Mark Ruffalo about torture and the need to stand up against it. Now, you know, one thing, Mark, in terms of this, you know, It's interesting when you say this thing about the, you know, the, what this country has been known for. And actually, I think this is one of the things, you know, and it depends too, because for us, it's always been known in this country. That's the way we've always tended to look at ourselves. But, you know, I spent time in South Africa. I spent time in other African countries where, you know, people actually would watch as Americans, and in Mexico too, people would watch as the CIA stood over, and these kids used to tell me about in Soweto where their testicles would be nailed to a desk. You know, and the CIA would be watching to get names of any of the other kids in the townships who were rising up. Or, you know, in some of these countries, like I was saying, in Chile, when the, you know, the batteries and the CIA were electrocuting people, and the CIA staying there watching. In a lot of places, this is what America is known for. It's that the American people don't know it. You know,
yes.
And that's a big, and that's, then you have this thing of complicity when this is shown to you, and it's a very, very heavy situation.
Well, there's a schism with reality. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the ideology that we sort of profess to maintain and to believe, that we're a country of laws and there's freedoms and we don't torture, we hold the Geneva Convention in high esteem, all of these things that we say, and then behind us we have, you know, God forbid, children's testicles being nailed to a desk, or people in stress positions, or you know, having electrocution on their genitals. I mean, this is with the internet now and the way information is so freely passed back and forth, America's on an interesting place to either say, this is who we are and this is who we're not. And there's kind of a fracturing of our reality and our psychic sort of being.
Which in a certain sense actually opens up a doorway for that could lead to a good place if people actually do stand up and do things.
Yeah. Know, but the question is will we stand up and will people get enough information and will the disinformation be run enough that they can't be awakened?
Well, you've put yourself square in the middle of shouting "Wake up!" You know, it's like that Spike film at the end of school days when the cat's out in the quad yelling "Wake up, wake up!"
Yeah.
And you put yourself in that position. So, can you talk a little? We have about 1 minute. So, can you talk about a little bit about that and why you did that and what you think people should do?
Listen, I don't want to. You know, I keep finding myself in this position. You know, early on when the war was going on in Iraq, there weren't a lot of actors that were coming out, and when they were just being smashed down. There's a handful of them that I really admire. I don't want to be in this position. I want other people to take up this call. You know, I'm basically a very private person, but I also I can't live with myself knowing that I can say something and I don't. I just I'm too well read to pretend like it isn't happening, and it's a real lie to myself. It's to go on living in complicity without saying something. You know, I don't want to be the I don't want to be the wedge. I want other people to take up this call, and that's what I'm doing now.
Well, and it's really important that actually, like we were talking the other day, you have a voice that can be heard in the public square that they can't really silence. And to me, it's extremely important that you and others like you, but you're able to stand up and say this. It's a courageous, and you need to have your back watched too.
Yeah.
That's an important thing.
That'd be good to know.
Yeah, right. No, exactly. People have to have your back. But you know, you're out there doing something that frankly is going to weigh far greater in terms of significance in the history of humanity than.
Yeah, I don't want to be on the wrong side of this issue 10, 15, 20 years from now and look at my son and my kids and have them look at me and say, did we do this? This is who we are, Papa. You know, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, exactly. And you're not.
Thank you.
There you go. Mark, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. Now, let me make a quick announcement. This is because I don't want to lose this before the impact of this whole thing. But tomorrow, Obama is going to be in L.A., and the world can't wait. Is calling on people to be at the Beverly Hilton, and they're calling on people to meet at Wilshire and Whittier. It's tomorrow at 3:30 p.m., and they're saying, wear orange, oppose torture. You can call 213-924-8571 or go to worldcantwait_LA@yahoo.com. And that's tomorrow, Wilshire and Whittier, wear orange, oppose torture. make your voices heard when Obama's in L.A. Oppose this torture. You know, the call for the release of the photos, the prosecution of war criminals. We cannot, none of us want to be on the wrong side of this. And, Mark, I want to thank you very much for joining
us
today.
Thanks, Michael, for having me.